Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. How are all of you this afternoon? I have to tell you, I am just really excited about my first guest because this is a gal that I met quite a few years ago. She reminded me when I was, you know, contacting her to be on the show because Gyleen X. Fitzgerald from Colorful Stitches has taken a workshop with me in the past. And I have to tell you this story before we start talking to Gyleen. In my classes when I was doing them back then, I did this little over dyeing and bleaching demo. Very, very simple. And I used to joke around, you know, that I hope there weren't any chemical engineers in the class because, you know, I was all self-taught with just sort of messing around with this stuff. Well, not only is Gyleen a fabulous dyer of fabric, a wonderful designer, but she is a chemical engineer. So we always made her sit in the back of the class then so that she just couldn't, you know, critique my dyeing process. So anyways, let's get Gyleen on here because I am really excited to find out what she's been doing in the quilt world. So Gyleen, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Pat. Oh, thank you for inviting me on the show. I'm so excited.
I know. You know, I've just loved watching how you've progressed since we met, you know, years ago. It's wonderful. You have just
I know. I felt like a little tadpole.
you stand on your own, girlfriend. You are just awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Now, I do. Yeah, you did tell me a cute, not even cute, it's a sweet, sweet story about your middle initial. Would you share that with people? Because I just think that's precious.
Oh, well, my mother, who's very big on initials and monogramming, I went through her whole 9 months carrying me with arguing over my first name, so she never really got to a middle name.
Oh, no.
Between her and my dad. So, and I never had like jewelry, monogrammed luggage, so the whole nine yards. So, it was just Gyleen F. And, you know, I didn't really care for those two letters together. So, for my 40th birthday, when it rolled around what looks, seems like eons ago, she asked me, "What do you want for your birthday?" And I said, "I want a middle initial. Thank you very much." So, the family took it on as a family project, and you know, if you're 40, you can actually veto some of their choices, unlike at birth. So they pitched different things, and we wrote it all out on what it would look like, the three letters together, and with the F in the middle, and so forth and so on. So we settled on Xavier, and it was, I'm born in October, so you know, All Saints Day is around October, so that, I guess that's why the Saints' names were, you know, coming into play a lot.
Yes, yes.
So, but it worked. And so for the rest of that month, boy, oh, boy, I got jewelry, luggage, towels, the whole thing. I felt caught up finally. So that's
good. I think
good.
That's just, it's such a beautiful story in that, you know, you wanted that and they gave it to you. It's just incredible.
Yeah,
I love it.
So if you don't like your stuff, just go back to the parents and say, look, your responsibility is still ongoing here.
Yeah. Let's have an upgrade.
That's right. That's right. So it's been good.
Tell me a little bit about how you got into quilting. You know, what made you quilt? Was it a quilt that you saw, you know, family? What was it?
Well, I always sewed. I can't remember life really before sewing. I mean, I started that young. I've always done something, whether it was crochet and or sew or needle. And I'm really good on looking and mimicking, so I don't need really formal instruction. If I just look at it long enough, I can do it. But anyway, I'm from Philadelphia. I got married and moved to Maryland and didn't know a soul other than the man I married, who was from D.C., so he didn't even know anybody. And he was a runner, so I spent a lot of hours almost as not married in my house, in my apartment, while he was, because he's a marathon, he was a lot on the road. And at the little shopping plaza that I could walk to, had a sign up that said quilting classes. So I promptly sign up, and that was like back in 81. And I've always sewed, and I never quilted up to that point. And I took the one class because what I thought I needed to know was the stitch. Oh, boy, was I naive. But anyway, I mean, because I could piece, and my piecing always has been decent because I could sew. So she taught me how to stitch. And then I made baby quilts for years for friends because we were just at that reproduction age, you know,
right.
for all my buddies.
Lots of babies.
Yes, lots of babies, lots of practice. But it really wasn't until 95, I want to say, where I moved again, but I was still in Maryland, and I joined a guild. I am so pro people joining guilds.
I know, it's amazing.
As the backbone to knowing everything. I always say, if you want to learn how to applique, sit next to somebody who appliques.
Right, right. Oh, it's
and without true. Them even saying anything, you will watch how they hold their hands, and you get so much that you don't get in books and even in workshops, mostly because of the timing, that you'll learn. And that's when the passion really hit, and it was nonstop with me ever since.
Oh, wow. Yeah, fun.
Yeah, I can't give it up now. It's my life.
Now it's full-time. It's a full-time job, plus
yes,
a regular full-time job. Right, you have two full-time jobs.
Exactly.
Now, we were chatting back and forth before you came on the show, and you grew up outside of the U.S. like I did during a lot of your younger years. You grew up in Asia, and I grew up in Europe, so we were sort of talking about that. How do you find that your living in Asia may have, and do you feel it influenced you? Do you see influences in your quilting?
Yeah, I was there where, I guess, psychologically, they would call it your formative years in my youth. I came back to I left when I was about 18 months old, and I came back around the fifth grade. Everything I knew was that type of world. I think the biggest influence is I love simple lines. I do believe you get more of a statement with less. And I like my designs to be very clear, very more pure. The
right.
other thing I see is, even though I appreciate symmetry, meaning one side being the same exact match as the other, what I appreciate more is symmetry by weight, a visual symmetry of balance versus an actual symmetry. And you see that a lot in not only their art, but their world. I was very heavily into gardening, and I did a lot of bonsai work and a lot of floral arrangements. So I learned really, I moved what I learned about flower arranging from doing roses into my quilts. They read the same to me. I learned it there, and that's even before my life of quilting kicked off. And I was competing in rose arrangement, really.
Right. Oh, wow.
As a ranger. So I learned, you know, different, you know, what parallel meant, what balance meant, a different scale. And I just moved it right into the quilt of blending. And I think, and I'm so attracted to that. And it's amazing because even though the Asia influenced me, my work is so different from when I'm at a show and see work done by the Japanese quilters.
Yes.
Because, I mean, some of them are they're reflecting our work of our patchwork, but the intricacy to the nth degree they will take something is far greater than I will ever go.
I'm with you on that one. The amount of detail work on some of the quilts that go to a show are just over the moon, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And so you don't see this, you know, blank canvas that you see in their paintings. You know, when you look at their paintings, it's much different than the level that you see in their patchwork. So I'm not comparing on that level. It's more of the style of their patchwork and their normal, their regular art, so to speak.
Cool. Now, Guileen, you are quite a varied, you know, in some ways you've moved through different things in your quilt career, like a lot of us have, because I know you've done a lot of hand dyeing at one point, and you've done a lot with 30s quilts, and I'd like to talk about the 30s stuff, because you have a very cool a TV interview rather, on your website, which is, let me give your website, Colorful, colorfulstitches.com, Colorful Stitches. But you use these 30 quilts that you purchased and then you finished. Tell me a little bit about that project and how it got going.
Well, I was at one point a vendor at quilt shows, and if you spent 3 days vending anything, you will start buying from the people on the left and right of you and across from you, because whether you like their stuff or not, and you know, you're looking at, you have to. And what I started really collecting was orphan blocks.
Okay.
You know, they just called to me. I didn't know what I was going to do with them, but I didn't want them discarded. Mm-hmm. They weren't throwaways to me. They were really somebody's life. Mm-hmm. And I have two collections of them, not much per se. And I have maybe one or two antique quilt tops that I was gifted from people who found them up in attics, and I was the only quilter they knew, so they gave them to me. And I kept them just like they were keeping them. I didn't do anything with them. It really wasn't until a good friend of mine, Barbara Heron, who was an antique scavenger, mm-hmm. was going through some quilt shops in West Virginia, and she went in and bought me a set of blocks they were peace feathered stars, and mm-hmm. she did a nice job. I looked at them. They were very inexpensive, mm-hmm. And I thought that was a good idea, but that evidently gave Barbara like a blank check of mine to go do this more often, so she's enjoying this process as she's spending my money.
Yeah.
And so by the time she ended up, I guess we had about a good 20, maybe even more unfinished uh-huh. blocks, tops.
Right.
It became, I was deep in the investment on this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I got to figure out how to get my money back. I'm in business here. So anyway, on a trip back from West Virginia, she and I put our heads together and conceived of the book. And I'm not known for antique work at all. I'm more of a contemporary mm-hmm. quilter that's kind of rooted in tradition, but mm-hmm. I'm not known, and there's so many good antique books out there about quilts, and she just egged me to finish it my way, to put my own voice to it and figure out how I would have done it.
Right.
And so that, she kind of put down the challenge, the gauntlet
yes.
for me, and how I approached it was, if it was a round robin, where the block is passing from person to person with or without fabric, mm-hmm. your role as doing your round is
right.
to add to it, not take away from it, to add your right. voice to the voice that's already there.
Right.
And you just do your best. And you don't criticize whether the well, you may, but you're not going to say
right.
anything. Criticize,
hey, Kylie, we're going to have to take a break, okay?
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so when we come back, we'll let Eileen finish up and tell us the rest of this story, because I'm on pins and needles. We'll be right back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. This is Pat Sloan.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to Facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Beautiful computerized quilting is simple with the HQ Pro Stitcher. Every design becomes a perfect fit for your quilt with the HQ Pro Stitcher. You can resize, repeat, rotate, and crop right on the new 10-inch color touchscreen. No computer needed. The HQ Pro Stitcher works with all HQ Stitch regulated machines and has a quick setup that allows you to get quilting in no time.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Make your projects so much easier with great products from Sewline. Sewline offers a variety of innovative quality marking tools for quilters and sewers. The Sewline Trio is a 3-in-1 fabric marking tool that allows you to quickly change from black ceramic to white lead to a blank stylus with just one click. Both leads are water-soluble and designed to provide a crisp, clean line that's easy to erase. To purchase Sewline products, visit your local quilt shop.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com. Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm here with Gyleen X. Fitzgerald of Colorful Stitches. And Gyleen, I want you to finish up your thought on taking the sort of orphan blocks that your girlfriend challenged you to finish. And, you know, your thought process was that sort of thinking of it as a round robin. And how many of them did you finish then?
I finished 22, and I
still have
some more unfinished stuff to do. So 22 in 2 years. Boy, we were really selling. But the best part about it is I only use what I own. I think two of the projects I actually had to buy fabric, but I really wanted to push myself to use my stash up. And I didn't use anything reproduction. I didn't intentionally try to stay within the era of the blocks. And when you look at them after a while, you forget that they're even antique. It moves forward to 2011 so easily. Which gives the whole new concept of 30s a whole new look, because you think about that, so people don't own them because, quote, they don't do 30s. But you could really do 30s in anything and make it look like today. And that was really the whole point of the book.
Neat. I really like that. I think it's something people can is very doable for a lot of people.
Right. And some people aren't the best piecers.
Right.
Actually, you could the value these days in unfinished tops is incredible, because the a lot of the hard work is already done for you. A good friend of mine who's an incredible hand quilter just tends to buy tops and hand quilts them, and that's how she adds her voice onto the piece. She'll quilt it in a very contemporary way by hand, but the piecing is already done, so she skipped that part. But there's lots of things you can do, and the whole thing is you really don't have a memory of anything until it's done, even if it's done poorly. So if we ever want our stuff cared for and cherished, we got to learn how to finish.
Finish.
That's right. And so this is how to give new life, to tell a new story to something very old.
And your book is Quilts Unfinished Stories with New Endings, which they can find at your website.
Correct.
Well, let's talk about your other work that you have quite a following for, my dear. I think it might be a rabid following of pineapple block makers out there, because you're encouraging people to do the trash to treasure, you know, take what they have and make these amazing pineapple quilts. So, you know, how did you become the advocate for pineapple blocks?
I know. Who knew I would actually be known as the pineapple lady?
I know.
You know, I really wish I had the great foresight that some people think I do, but I actually get stuff dumped on me. What I really have is called courage and tenacity to try it. But I just wanted to make one. And then I was convincing Beth Ritter, who does my long arm quilting. She says, "Oh, I'll make one with you." And it started so innocently.
Oh yeah.
And we ended up I ended up designing a tool, because what was currently on the market, just I couldn't get consistency, and I guess ego kind of had jumped in, because as an engineer, I'm known for high tool usage. And if I couldn't get it to work, I certainly didn't think other people were successful with it either. And to me, I could see that, because I go to a lot of shows and you don't see a lot of pineapple quilts. So there's some reason we're not making them. And they were so well known because they were derivative of a log cabin. So anyway, what I also realized was I have more stuff in my studio than a little bit. I guess I thought I could make a Baltimore album quilt at any moment. So I saved everything.
Oh, yes.
To the point that the clutter was paralyzing my creativity.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I realized that if this is what my stuff looked like, so did everybody else's. So I said, what if I combine the two to be able to use something, bits and pieces of nothing, which should have gone in the trash decades ago, and create a new fabric with one block? that could be done so rotely, you don't even have to think about it. And so the tool helps you do that.
Oh,
and
good.
It doesn't matter what your fabric looks like. By the time you slice it down to a 1.5-inch strip, and I think the longest segment is only like 6 inches, that everything and anything will blend. And you do create
Amazing.
New fabric. And because the block, it's an 8-inch finish, has 32 total pieces in it, you have 32 positions to stylize something. And that's where you're getting all the variations of how to color the block, as we call it. So you get one block that can look like anything just about. And what I found out since I've been doing this is that it actually has way more variations than log cabins, where you're just trading light from dark and changing the way you spin them, you know, to do furrows or, you know, whatever you're going to do with your log cabin blocks. So with the pineapple, you're able to actually get a lot more variation. Because
does your book
coloring.
Show a bunch of those?
Yes, the book shows like 8 variations out of the box. So that it gets you your juices starting.
Right, right.
The first one I did was called Full Mosaic, where I didn't stylize anything. I just made a quilt. And it's still one of my favorites. And you just pick it up, lay it down, and sew it. And most of the people who have attempted this, they say it is highly addictive. They were up to 1 o'clock and didn't even know it. And they just kept sewing. I've made 12 over the last year and a half. Of pineapple quilts.
Right.
And you're right. The synergy surrounding it, I've been trying to analyze it. You know, I would like to duplicate, you know, the effort of why it was so popular. And I think it's everything. It's the economy, the fact that you feel better because you finally made good on a promise to yourself of using something that should have been thrown away.
People love to use what they already have.
That's right. And you feel so good. And if you had to buy something, if you just buy one dynamic border, you can get that whole quilt to mimic that border. And you just have a feel-good feeling. And that's what's caused it. But it has hit every continent now. And to my astonishment,
and you have a Facebook page, right?
And so the community of it got so big, I had to get them off my Outlook because they were bombarding me with email. So I moved everybody to Facebook. So I think right now there's like maybe 250 photographs. Posted of pineapple quilts. And now people are seeing the Trash to Treasure quilts are showing up at quilt shows because it's cycled long enough that they're seeing them in competition now, which is a thrill for me when I bump into one and I recognize, that's a Trash to Treasure quilt.
Now, so, are you doing yours on foundation, Guylene?
No, it's all ruler cut. I can't imagine if you wanted to do a queen size quilt having to remove that much paper. I'm not the biggest fan of paper piecing or foundation piecing. I think there's a place. If it was real, real spiky, I'm saying, you know, paper piecing is definitely the way to go. If you're going to miniaturize anything really small to keep it accurate and square, I would say paper piece. If you're going to make a standard size block of just bars, truly laying it down, sewing, and going is the way to go.
Yeah.
And on this, grain doesn't matter. So your scrap is truly a scrap. No, you don't. You can just cut the longest edge you can and start cutting it down to 1.5-inch strips. It doesn't matter. Because the pineapple block is really going to be an octagon at some point, and then you're going to have to put it back on square to fill the corners. So you already got bias going anyway. And if the longest length is so short, it's not stretching far. and you true it up every round. That's what the ruler does for you. So it's going to get you back on every round. It's going to right you.
I'm going to need this ruler, you know.
So it is truly sewing with reckless abandon.
Oh, love it.
And you get rid of, and that's the joy. The little bits and pieces, when you cut them all down, we put them in a bag, and then we call them noodles. They start looking like spaghetti noodles. And they, you know, and you just deplete the bag. And as you're making the quilt, if you start looking low, you just add more and just mix them in, and you keep going. And when I was writing the book, the funniest part is, you know, in most patterns, they talk about how much fabric to buy, a quarter yard, half yard. And I couldn't figure it out because it was all trash. We started weighing. How much does it weigh? You're going to need about a pound's worth, you know, to get to that size quilt. So you measure, if you have enough, you ballpark it by the weight of your noodles before you start.
Well, weight is very accurate. It tells you, you know, pretty much what you're dealing with.
Right.
I think that's amazing. Everybody needs to make one of Guylene's pineapple blocks. You really, really do.
Yeah,
Guylene, do you go out and you teach this? So what is your teaching like? You go all the time. I mean, you have a full-time job right now.
Right. I average about 2 venues a month. Sometimes a little more, sometimes less. But I do like 28 a year.
Oh.
I do some of the big shows and a lot of the guilds.
Mm-hmm.
And I do coast to coast. Top to bottom, as I call it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to do international, but I can't do that until I retire because I need a little bit more vacation time to make the trip. But I see it in my future.
Well, that's good.
Trash to Treasure class has been selling out. I went to Portland, and it sold out so fast that they booked me because I came in a day early for that my free day off. I actually was in the classroom again, and they filled that with another 25 and still had a wait of 10.
Well, I know that everybody I talk to that mentions teachers and mentions, you know, you, because anybody that's taken the class from you really, you know, has enjoyed it. So you have quite a good reputation.
Oh, they're kind, too. I try to have fun. I mean, that's the whole thing.
Well, that's the important part.
Right. I am so delighted that they even chose to spend 6 hours with me in the classroom that no matter what we get accomplished, we're going to have fun. Life is just far too challenging with serious stuff to do it in the classroom. So most of my projects really don't get on you for less or more than a quarter of an inch. All I ask for is consistency. Pick a number and stick to the plan. And that seems to work for me. We're not swapping blocks. So if yours are smaller or bigger than your neighbor's, it'll still work well in your quilt.
So your own personal seam allowance.
Exactly. Just pick a number, stick to the plan.
Right.
So we're pretty good.
Guylene, we have just had so much fun here talking. I just can't believe that it's zoomed by this quick.
Wow.
I know.
I'm just so happy to be on the air with you. You don't know how much I watch your work. I mean, for a non-applicator that I am, your applique style has certainly influenced me. Every time I see work, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a Pat Sloan.
Oh, thank you, Guylene. Yeah. Well, I just loved having you here, and I hope you have a fabulous rest of your day.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We were talking to Guylene X. Fitzgerald, whoops, got it out at ColorfulStitches.com. We'll be right back after a break.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at APQShop.com.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Pam.
What have you been quilting lately?
I just finished a Lone Star quilt for my niece's wedding.
Oh, I can't wait to see the finished quilt.
Me too. I have so many finished tops that I'm really considering looking into a long arm of my own. Don't you have a handy quilter? I've heard good things about them.
I do, and I love my HQ18 Avante. No more UFOs at my house. I have so much space to work with, and it's so fast. The stitch regulator gives me perfect stitches every time, and the precision glide track systems makes quilting so smooth I could quilt all day.
I would love that. I've been looking at the HQ24 Fusion.
Oh, I think that would be perfect for you. It's got all the great HQ features of the Avante with more throat space. You'll love working with Handy Quilter. Their customer service is top-notch.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter, four quilters.
Moda Fabrics brings you the hottest new fabric lines for quilting. We work with more than 40 of your favorite independent designers, as well as in-house design staff to make sure you have the latest and greatest in fabrics. We're committed to creating high-quality products and providing excellent customer service. And for 35 years, Moda Fabrics has proudly supported the independent quilt shop. Visit your local independent quilt shop to see what's new from Moda Fabrics.
Look. Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts and More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. My next guest is the absolutely fabulous Moda designer and quilt maker, Joanna Figueroa of Fig Tree Quilts. And you all love all the things that Joanna does, just like I do. And I love Joanna herself. So hi, Joanna. How's it going?
Hi, Pat. That's quite an introduction.
Well, you are fabulous, girl.
Well, thank you.
I can't wait to see you here in a couple of days.
I know. Although, it's like 3 or 4, isn't it? Kind of scary.
Yes. I know. I'm not counting. I'm in denial, but, you know.
I know. Aren't we all?
We all. Yes. We don't really want to know until we get on the plane. There we go. Time's up.
That's right. Can't do any more at that point.
That's right. That's right. We can't take that sewing machine on the plane. They haven't let us figure that out yet. So, so Joanna, your company is called Fig Tree, and your last name is Figueroa. Do they happen to go together by any chance?
To our friends, we're just known as the Figs, and my husband has been called Fig for his whole life by his friends ever since he was a little boy. So when it was time to name the company, we knew we wanted Fig in it somehow, and we threw around a bunch of different options, and we thought Fig Leaf was a little too biblical, so we went with Fig Tree.
Oh, I just love it. And your blog is called Fresh Figs, which I just think is so adorable.
Yeah, yeah. It's a nice... That was kind of a takeoff. I thought, well, something related, but not exactly the same name. So.
Yeah, yeah. Now, does your husband works with you some in the business? Does he work with you all the time, or is it just sort of like jump in when needed?
All the time. He basically runs the business side of it, so he's in charge of fulfillment, and he works with our pattern folders and our office manager and, everybody who makes it all tick. And then they try and keep me out of the office as much as possible because they say that I just mess it all up. So they send me back over to the studio. They say, you stay over there and we'll do this part over here. So he runs that whole side of it, and it works great that way. We're a partnership all the time.
Ah, well, that's the same thing my husband and I do, although I don't have staff. It's just him. So
He is all of it.
Right.
Well, we like to give my husband any title. We always say, well, what other title would you like that'll motivate you to do this more? Whatever title you want, you can have it.
Right. I know. That's what Greg made up his own title, too, I think. I just ignore it. But...
Hey, whatever gets the work done, Pat.
That's true. That's true. They have to get the work done.
That's right.
Now, I thought it would be really fun to chat a little bit about your studio and your workspace and sort of how you do things. Out on our website, allpeoplequilt.com, we have a little feature of your studio and your home. The very first thing that it shows is a front picture of your home, and it talks about getting the right color paint. Now, did you really need to work hard to do that? Or
Well, it kind of became, when we moved into that house that's in that interview with APQ, I told them about the fact that I kind of have an obsession about the right tone of cream, if you haven't noticed. So by the time we were done painting walls, I had tested 30 different of those little quarts of cream paint from three different, Home Depot and Lowe's and all those places. So it was kind of a joke because there are 30 little quarts of them in our garage because I can't get rid of them because, paint's hard to get rid of and it's cream, so I can kind of use it for anything.
Yeah.
So believe it or not, depending on the room and depending on the light and depending on the size of it, the cream looks different in every single room in the house. So there's like 5 different cream paints in the house. I know it sounds a little obsessive, but, it is how I am. I just have to live with it,
Right. Well, you're a designer. You're all about color.
It's all about the color. Yeah. So I think my favorite studio story was when we bought this house, the house worked for us in everything except for that there wasn't enough studio space. And so we basically built on a second story on the back of the house that is all studio. It's an office and a studio and storage space. And we put in hard floor. And then when they came in to stain it, we handed them a bucket of cream paint and a paintbrush and said, please paint the floor cream. And the horror that was on their face was something I will never forget, because I don't think ever in their entire professional life had they been asked to put in a hardwood floor and then to paint it. So they didn't speak very much English. They were Vietnamese, and they just kept looking at me and saying, oh, so ugly, so ugly. And I would say, yes, please just do it.
Yep.
And they did, and I love it. And I have cream, hardwood cream floors in my studio, and, you know, that was... that was my studio, building the studio, my favorite story.
I think that's so funny. And, you know, I was just flipping through the pictures on the site, and when there's a closed drying rack with a lot of quilts hanging on it, you can see your floor there.
There
so.
You go. There's the cream floor.
That's right.
They pretty much gave them a coronary.
The truth.
Yeah.
So you have like this great little team that you work with. Do they work at your house? Is everything contained there? So, or do you also have a building somewhere else?
We have both. So the sewers come here with me and sew in my studio. And then the office gals work off site. And then, you know, I kind of go back and forth.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you have an off site place where all your big storage stuff is.
Yeah.
So in your house.
Yeah,
nice.
Otherwise I don't think we'd be able to, you know, to move. There
right.
was a time when, you know, we kind of overflowed into every portion of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the kids just started to get a little bit,
yeah,
you know, a little bit like, hello, can we have a little space that doesn't have something quilt related in it or fabric related?
I know. My husband's always saying, no business in the living room. So
That's right. But it's hard. I mean, it's hard when you have a home-based business like that. I mean, even if we, you know, we go back and forth, but I mean, the house has still always got all sorts of stuff. It's really hard to keep that balance of the two separate. I mean, I wouldn't change it for the world to have my studio, you know, at home. I mean, I think I've got space at the office, but this is, I love to be able to work here and still, you know, kind of keep my eye on what's going on with the house and with the kids. And the whole point I started the business was to be able to do it out of my home while having to send my kids to childcare, you know? So it would defeat the purpose if I moved it all completely out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I think a lot of times people wonder, well, you know, wouldn't it be just easier and more effective if you just went elsewhere and did all of it? Well, it might be, you know, it might be, I suppose, but it would kind of defeat the whole reason for why I'm,
Yeah, I totally get it. I don't think I could go work somewhere else anymore. It's very nice to be able to be in the house, even with its pitfalls of having things here all the time.
Yeah, and there's certainly, I totally agree with you, there are pitfalls.
Yeah.
You know, but...
the computer, it's there.
It's
yelling.
There.
Let me just check something.
The laptop moves with you, unfortunately.
Right,
unfortunately, right?
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. So when you were doing you moved to this house, we'll just talk a little bit more about studio and storage. I mean, you got to sort of redesign everything or design it from scratch. Do you have like a favorite thing that you did that you can share?
I think for me, in terms of storage, I have to see my fabric all the time. If I put it away in a bin, I might as well give it away.
Mm-hmm.
So I have open shelving for all of my whole stash is, you know, on bookshelf after bookshelf that I can see it, so I can pull it out and look at it and see whether it's, you know, I've got ones that are dedicated to vintage fabrics that I use for inspiration for when I'm designing fabric, and then, you know, actual fabric that I'm going to use to cut up to put into a project. But if I don't see it, I don't.
Yeah. It's like you don't own it if you don't see it. Oops, I think we... lost Joanna, maybe. So let me just keep talking. They'll hopefully bring her back here in a second. We're doing another redial. So if you go out to allpeoplequilt.com and put in Joanna, J-O-A-N-N-A, Figueroa, F-I-G-U-E-R-O-A, in our search box, then we will, you'll be finding her little interview here that we did in her studio. So I have to describe her studio a second while we're getting her back on. See, are you there yet, Joanna? I can see a phone call. Oh, she's not there yet. Okay, so you can see pictures of her studio with all her fabrics and actually some of her quilts because she's got a whole set.
I don't know what happened.
Oh, that's okay. It's live. We just go on. I was just describing your rooms. That's all. So
okay, I was like, oh my gosh, I went into a panic. I was trying to figure out what happened. Okay, what were we talking about?
It's weird. You have all your fabric out because you love looking at it. Totally agree, because I'm the same way. If I put it away, I don't even know it exists.
Yeah, I just don't even know. I know so many people, you know, love their bins and they love to have it all, you know, in you know, labeled and put away. I can't do that. So I think that's my, I think that was one of my favorite things in the studio. And then we designed a rack on the wall that has like lots of rollers, so I kind of can keep, you know, six or seven quilts on there at once, and I just kind of rotate them in and out.
Oh, that's a good idea too. Yeah, do you have like a big design wall?
You know, that is the one thing I don't have.
Oh.
I don't have, because I don't have any space. I'm such a visual person. I've got 1,000 things on the walls. You know, I've got vintage art and fabrics and lots of little snippets of things and inspiration boards all over the place. But between the windows, and I love light, so in between the windows and the doors, there wasn't a place left to do a design wall. So I either take out a huge piece of flannel and put things up, or I do it on the floor and stand up on a chair and look at it. It's very unprofessional, I guess.
Well, you know, if it works for you, that's what counts.
That's right, yeah. It was the one thing that if I had to do it again, I'd figure out some way to, you know, design a space that had a wall dedicated for that. I miss it, but there's no way to put one in here, so.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and then you've just figured out some. And
yeah,
a lot of people don't have design wall space, so.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
But there you go.
There we go.
I had a question left for you on my blog, and they wanted to know what kind of software you use to design. Are you using software? You know, are you painting your fabric? Because we're going to talk about your fabric, but I thought I'd get that question in before we take a break.
Sure. For fabric, I kind of dub myself an eclectic designer because I paint some of it, I draw some of it, I doodle some of it, some of it in the computer in Photoshop and Illustrator, but no one collection is ever done all in one.
Not all in one part. So we're having trouble with Joanna's connection, I think, but we're going to take a little break here in a second. She's coming back on. A lot of designers, for those of you who don't know, a lot of designers have either might paint all their work, like Valerie Wells, when we talked to Valerie on another show, or like I do a lot where I do little sketches and then I send them to my, you know, fabric house, and they will, you know, work up my little sketches into final drawings. And like Joanna was just saying, she apparently does a whole series of things where she might do sketches. She has fabric swatches. I know she uses a lot of antique fabrics for inspiration. So she's probably looking at images on them and reworking those so that they fit in with her whole theme. So we're going to take a little break here at American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. When we come back, we're going to hopefully have Joanna Figueroa on for the last segment of the show.
Win free stuff! Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
Come see what's cooking at the Moda Bake Shop website. You'll find free recipes for using the wide range of Moda pre-cuts from your favorite designers and quilt shops. We've got ideas for using a variety of ingredients, including honey buns, jelly rolls, layer cakes, charm packs, and more. Instructions with detailed step-by-step photos guide you through the recipes and the fun. New projects served up daily at modabakeshop.com.
Do you love free motion quilting but struggle to fit your project in a small throat space? The HQ Suite 16 is designed for you. With 16 inches of throat space, there is room to work on even a king-size quilt. The smooth surface of our height-adjustable table allows your project to glide under the needle with ease. The HQ Suite 16 is built with powerful HQ technology designed to handle all your quilting projects.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Hey, we're back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, and Joanna's here, Joanna Figueroa, Fig Tree Quilt. So, Joanna, now tell me, I would like to know what you do for designing your fabric. Not your fabrics, I'm sorry, your patterns. Let's see, we got her on hold. So Carrie needs to take her off of hold. There she is. So Joanna, yep. I don't know if you heard me.
Yes.
We had you. It's one thing after the other here on live radio. So when you're doing your patterns, are you
yes.
using a different software then, since it's a different process?
For patterns, I just use regular word processing software. I do work in EQ, but I don't ever start there. I will always sketch it out first, and it'll, and then I'll import it into EQ basically to be able to play with scale and setting and fabric choice.
Ah.
So especially since with fabric design, we're always working so far in advance
mm-hmm.
that I almost never have actual fabric to work with, and so I just have
right.
either electronic swatches or tiny little minuscule pieces. So the to work in EQ really helps me to visualize it before I have actual fabric. So I do that. But I don't ever, I find that I don't, I still kind of start the old-fashioned way with a sketchbook, but then import it in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I like to draw and sketch too. It's like it's not real. Once I go to the computer,
right.
then it's like, okay, it's real. We got to get going now.
Yeah, that's true.
You can sort of play out your ideas before you get to that point. Tell me, you have a fabric line that's just getting to the stores in October.
Yeah.
What is that one?
We've got the current one that's going to ship sometime this next week, I think, is called Butterscotch and Rose. And it's a real rich fall line. It's got like chocolate browns and caramels and a deep red in it. And it's great for kind of, for fall time projects. We've got a big giant floral in there that I really like. And then the one that we'll be showing at Houston next week is our spring summer line for next year. It'll be in stores in spring of 2012.
Right.
And that one is called California Girl. And it's kind of light and fresh and a little bit beachy. I've introduced some blue colors in there that I haven't used before. So it's kind of,
Nice.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's got a French blue and a light sky blue that I'm in love with right now. In fact, I think it might be my favorite color in that collection. So, which is not usually I usually don't do the blues very much. So I'm kind of surprising myself.
Well, how long have you been designing, Joanna? It's been
I think this is like line 24 or 25.
Yeah. Wow.
It's kind of crazy. I think it's been 7 or 8 years.
Yeah. Well, it's like you just want to have a little change every so often.
Yeah, that's right. Put in something, something a little different in there.
Yeah. So tell everybody about your publication you put out quarterly called Fresh Vintage. What's that all about?
So in addition to our regular patterns, we do Fresh Vintage, which is a, like you said, it's a quarterly publication, and we kind of call it a pattern plus. It's always got at least one full quilt pattern in it, and then it has a secondary pattern also with full instructions and diagrams that's usually for like a smaller item or a little sewing item. And we try and have them coincide with our fabric collection releases, so each one There's always one with each fabric collection, and then we do the ones in between. And it's often inspired by a vintage quilt, the main quilt. And then we have other stuff in there, like an article on design and a recipe and a book review and, like a Notions review or something. So it's kind of like a little mini magazine.
Yeah. Nice, nice. And you have quite a few antique quilts because you show them on your blog every so often.
Yeah, I love rescuing, vintage patchworks that haven't been finished into quilts and quilts that are not in the best condition. I mean, I would love, the full beautiful thing too, but that's not always in the budget.
Yeah,
so
I
love scouring flea markets for all those well-loved quilt pieces and quilt tops, and then sometimes I have them finished, or sometimes I finish them, sometimes I just hang them up as a quilt top by itself, or I put it into a basket and hide the pieces that are worn through or ripped. I just love the way those quilts feel. I feel like there's nothing quite like them,
Yes. I agree. For my guest earlier, Guileen Fitzgerald also did a lot with 30s quilt at one point, took blocks and remade them. So she's got a little thing for those. It's like people made them and they're lovely.
I know. I mean, it's like going to a flea market and seeing someone's old pictures. I always feel so sad. And it's like someone should have that old picture of grandma and grandpa, I feel the same way about the quilts. Someone should have them. So I feel the need to have them.
You rescue them. Take them home.
That's right.
Now, you have a whole series in Quilts and More called Scrap Lab that's running this year. Tell me about that. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, this is a great feature the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting came up with. So it's a regular feature in Quilts and More, and I do it together with my friend Camille from Thimble Blossoms. And each time, we basically receive a different grouping of fabrics from a different manufacturer and a different designer, and we have to design something. And we invite a third person to join us each time. It's a different person each time. Mm-hmm. And they design something also. And then we submit it all at the same time to kind of show people what you can do with a charm pack or four fat quarters and, a half yard of cream or eight fat quarters or whatever. So we're only allowed to work with that fabric. We all work with the exact same grouping of stuff. And we all come up with something, completely different every single time. Sometimes it's more modern and sometimes it's more traditional, and it's fun. It's been a lot of fun.
It's really cool because you all have different styles, everybody who's doing it. So your take is so different.
Yeah, and then between that and the fact that we kind of go back and forth between working with more modern fabrics and more traditional fabrics, that it really stretches us, because that normally as designers we end up working in either only our fabrics or mostly our own fabrics. But it's kind of, it's fun to work outside the box once in a while.
Yeah, I love it. I love doing something different every so often. If you work in pastels, work in something deep and dark and rich, just to get it out of your system.
it's been a lot of fun. I think the feedback we've gotten is that the readers really like seeing the different ways that, different things you can come up with the same stuff. We actually have an online-only feature with that, with Scrap Lab, and I think it goes up at the beginning or the middle of next week. So if people want to come back and link, if they want to come back, I'll have a link to it on my blog.
Great.
If they want to just do a link through, a search, I think it'll be Scrap Lab Pumpkins or Scrap Lab some Fig Tree Pumpkins or something like that through the APQ website. It'll be up. I think it'll be featured next week. It should be fun.
Oh, that's really good. And your blog is figtreequilts.typepad.com.
Yes, figtreequilts.typepad.com. Yeah, so it'll be up there next week. I'll have some pictures and a link to the directions and everything on the website.
Now, we were talking before, you and I, about Paris and, that you love Paris so much.
I do.
And going there. I know. It's just, and you've blogged about it. I mean, what is it? Are you trying to go, like, once a year now, or do you have some sort of goal in mind?
Yeah, well, the last 3 or 4 years, I've gotten the great opportunity to go once a year. I've gone to teach for the Moda, for a Moda distributor in Spain, in Madrid. And then I basically, you know, I tack on a couple of days and take myself to Paris to basically walk around. And I speak Spanish fluently, so I can teach in Spain, but I don't speak a word of French. So if I go by myself, I basically don't talk for 3 days, which...
Yeah.
As an extrovert, it's kind of an interesting experience, but I feel like I see so much more because I literally, you know, I've got my 4 phrases in French that I need to get around, and then I don't talk. So
yeah.
I just look at everything. I don't do any of the museums or the touristy things. I just walk around the streets and go to the outdoor markets, most of them food and, you know, fruits and vegetables and cheese and wine. And, and there's just so much color. And there's so much life on the streets in Paris that, but I don't do any of the traditional things. I haven't even been to any of the gigantic flea markets because they're almost always on the weekend, and I'm almost always there in the middle of the week, just, you know,
right.
kind of adding it on the end of my trip.
Yeah.
But it's been amazing. I kind of have my little hotel that I love now. It's on one of the little islands right behind Notre Dame. I have my little cafe that I go to in the morning for my little, you know, so I've got a little routine that I do.
Mm-hmm.
I got to take my husband with me last time, and it was amazing, but the routine got all thrown off.
Oh, yeah. You have to do guy things, too, then.
That's right, yeah. We did some different stuff, so it was great. But I think there's something about going on my own that's just, you know, like they say in that Visa commercial, it's priceless.
Yeah. It's priceless, yeah. Oh, it's just incredible. I mean, I've been there as a teenager, but I've not gone as an adult, and I'd really like
you should
to
go.
Do that. Yeah.
Well, you've been to so many places, you know, Ireland and all sorts, right?
I have.
You should take a trip to
Paris. I know. I was, you know, 17 when I went, so you don't remember.
Right. It feels different. I went with my family as a teenager because we have family in Poland, so we would travel back to Europe often. So I had gone as a teenager, but it's completely different, I think, when you go as you're designing stuff. You know,
you
feel differently about it.
So you're collecting little things that you bring back? I mean, do you put like a little memento in your studio that you can look at?
I do. There's a couple little, I don't do the flea markets, but I have found a couple little antique shops that I go to.
Okay.
And I always get little, usually it's like little decals or little children's books or little, it ends up being either fabric or paper most of the time that I bring back with me. And then sometimes those things have inspired a fabric collection or a pattern.
Ah, well, let me talk about one more thing. Speaking of inspiration, you are on Pinterest, just like I am.
Yes.
So do you love Pinterest?
Oh, my gosh. I could just do nothing else but just spend time there. It's like the biggest time suck there ever was.
I know. It's all pictures, Pinterest.com, and it's like just incredible. 'Cause, you know, so do you go like every day?
Well, no, when I started, I went every day, and then I wasn't, you know, nothing was happening.
Right.
And then when I get, you know, like in crazy deadline time, I don't go.
Yeah.
So I haven't been there for a few weeks.
Yeah.
But it's like something I look for. It's like my carrot, you know, stick and carrot kind of motivation. It's my carrot that I hold out for. I say, okay, if I finish everything, I can go and hang out at Pinterest. I mean, it's just... The pictures and the inspiration and the colors. I think one of the best compliments that someone gave me was when they went on my Pinterest page, they said, oh my gosh, Joanna, I feel like you must see a completely different internet than I do. I don't know where you find all this stuff. But I feel like it just comes to me. You know, I just see all my favorite colors and images and pictures and fabrics. And I love it. I love it.
Joanna,
don't you just love it?
I do love it. Joanna, we are going to have to say goodbye because
okay,
we're all done.
Thanks, Pat.
Yeah. I'm going to see you in a few days.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Talking to Joanna Figueroa of Freak Tree Quilts. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. Come back next week for all new program. I'm Pat Sloan, your host.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thank